cool. That worked, didn't it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Guys, have a good week. No answer, huh? Okay. I had an interesting week. It was an interesting week for me this week. I just love it when you have studied for a couple weeks for a sermon and then it gets changed. I love it. I just love it. So that's kind of where this week was at. So you know what I mean? So let's go over in prayer. Father, we humbly come before your throne this morning, Father, and I know the reason you changed this sermon because you knew what needed to be said today, Father. I need it. Someone needs it. I just praise you for that, Father. Just let me be the open vessel to be used, Father. Speak the words that need spoken and bring across what needs to be brought across. And I just praise you for that, Father. And Father, as we come to this Memorial Day, we just want to remember all those who paid the ultimate sacrifice, Father, for us. We just want to remember your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate sacrifice for each and every one here, that we could just stand in your presence this morning. Father, we just praise you and we thank you for that. We love you. Father, in your precious name we pray. Amen. Cool. Yeah, this we're going to be celebrating Memorial Day. Everybody got a day off work tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Memorial Day was set up, obviously, we know what it was set up for. It was actually started back in the Civil War times for sailors and infantrymen that had been killed in the Civil War. That's the ultimate, I guess I wrote down here, it's those who gave the final act of devotion, those who died for our freedom. And that's why I stopped the kids. I want them to understand that we don't sit here for nothing. It costs a price. There was a price that was paid. There was a price that was paid for you and I to enter into the presence of God. There was a price that was paid. If you look at the bulletin I put down, what a price, what a Savior. Julie asked me for scripture verses, and at that time I didn't know. I didn't. I have a whole bunch of them. I told her just put down Genesis, Revelation. Huh? So that'll cover the whole thing, right? Isn't that cool? So, see, I didn't mess up. That's actually supposed to be in there, Genesis, Revelation. That's what I put in there. But I guess, long story short, I was thinking about, you know, the price that people have paid for our freedom, for my freedom, the price that Jesus had paid for our freedom, my freedom, your freedom. And it just kind of came together here, and I guess I want to start in Mark chapter 15, verses 34. And you ever have somebody ask you a theologically deep question, and you ain't got the answer for it? I had someone ask me this week, why is God so mad at me? You ever had anybody ask you that question? Why is God mad at me? Look at the stuff that's happening. God's mad at me. Well, I've had people ask me that question before, and God's not mad at you. He's not mad at you. You don't believe me, though, do you? No. God's not mad at you. And then I had to go somewhere to prove that. God's anger, His wrath, His penalty for sin, the debt was poured out on Jesus. Do you understand that? God's anger for you and all the sins you do. Anybody here not sin? I bet I did this morning. Huh? Really? Yeah! All that anger that God has for sin was poured out on His Son. Let's go to Mark chapter 15. We're going to start in verse 34. And I want you to see this. I guess my point today, the point that the Lord has impressed upon my heart to give you, is that He is who He is. And I want you to understand that. We're going to look at some names. We're going to look at Him. We're going to look at just exactly how important He is to your life. That knowing God more is the most important thing a Christian needs to do. Do you believe that? Knowing God more is the most important thing you have to do. Do you believe that? How do you get to know Him more? I can read about it. Huh? I read about it. Be like a doctor. A doctor can read all the medical books he wants to read, but until he applies that knowledge to you, because you've got a problem, it's just stuff, right? Right? Just stuff, right? Let's go look here. Okay, Mark chapter 15, This is a picture, and I've been, the Lord has really been impressing me on the, on after Easter. It's been just, oh man, the cross, all this stuff. And here we are again. In verse 34, it says, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Wow. God, because He is holy, infinitely holy, cannot look on sin. Infinitely holy. I have no words. There's no word. Infinitely could not look on sin. When Christ was hanging on that cross, when the debt, the penalty, the sin debt penalty for you and I, because of what we're going to do tomorrow, today, was laid on Him. It was laid upon Him. God laid it upon His Son. God took that. And because of that, God the Father had to turn His back on God the Son. And He cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? The good news is you and I never have to experience that. Isn't that cool? We never have to experience separation from God. Never. Because Christ paid the penalty, we can come boldly before the throne of grace, and He's there. We can be in the middle of trials. He's there. Isn't that cool? I'm the only one excited about it. Okay. Let's go on. And it says here in verse 35, it says, some of those standing by hearing it said, He's calling for Elijah. One man ran and filling a sponge with water, put it on a staff made of bamboo, a reed, gave it to him to drink, saying, hold off, let us see whether Elijah comes to take him down. And Jesus uttered a loud cry and breathed out His life. Verse 38, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. One little verse, verse 38. One little verse. Curtain was torn in two. You know what that curtain signifies? That curtain was placed. The curtain was embroidered. It was beautifully embroidered. It had gems. It was gold inlaid. It was beautiful. This curtain was 60 feet tall. This curtain was 30 feet wide. And this curtain was as thick as your hand. 7 inches thick. 7 inches thick. This thing is thick. You couldn't see through it. Nothing. That curtain separated you and I, sinners, from the Almighty Holy God. When Christ died on that cross, when He said, into Thy hand I commit My spirit, that veil was ripped in two from top to bottom. Top to bottom. 60 feet tall, 7 inches thick, is ripped in half. And I wrote this down because I love the way this was. God was now saying, I am accessible. Come inside the curtain. I'm available. I invite you. The blood of My spotless Lamb has been poured out and covers all sin. That's what He did. And you're all looking at me like, yeah, I knew that. I knew all that. Right? I knew all that. Let's look at something. I want to go to the Old Testament. I want to show you a couple of things here. And I don't know where the Lord's going to take this. I was looking at the names of God. You ever just took and sat down and look at them? I see one guy, he has like 12 names of God, and then there's another guy here recently has put out like 85 names of God. Okay? And you think, well, that's kind of weird. There's Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah, all these different things. But in Genesis 1:1, it says, what's it say? We all know it. God created. And in the beginning, God created, right? God. The word here for God is Elohim. Big fancy word. What's Elohim mean? What's it mean? It means the all-powerful creator God. All-powerful. Do you have limits? Got any limits? Got any physical limits? Find any? The older you get, they get a little more limiting. Huh? Find that? Do you know what I'm saying? We're all looking, we're all smiling. Yeah, I got limits. God don't have any. it boggles my mind. He's all powerful. Elohim. He's all powerful. Now when you go to Genesis 2:4, it says, well, I'll read it. Genesis 2:4 says, "This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens." Lord God. He's Lord God. First time it's used. A lot of history here. Lord God. Jehovah Elohim. Pretty fancy, right? I want to show you something. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. I knew I was going to be jumping around a little bit, but I want you to see something. First time, God's name could not be pronounced. Jewish people will not kill. To this day, they still have issues. They do not pronounce the name of God. It is a name. Don't say it. Because when we go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 14, you remember the story of our old buddy Moses? He's a pretty cool old guy, wasn't he? I mean, he's got a pretty interesting birth. He's floating around in a reed out there in a reed little basket and gets found and doesn't get killed, and he gets raised up. He's 40 years old, raised up in Pharaoh's house. He's a son of the Pharaoh, and he gets involved. He knows the Jews are his people, and somehow he knew that. We don't know. It doesn't tell us. Somehow the Jews are his people. So he kills one of these Egyptian guys who's giving a Jew a hard time, and then he has to flee because they're going to try to kill him. So he's 40 years old. Anybody here getting close to 40? 40? Okay, we got two people back here. Cool. 40 years old. So 40 years old, you're getting kind of down the downhill side of life, you thinking? Maybe? Okay. Moses is 40 years old. He goes out and he's Jethro, and he's out there. He's tending sheep for another 40 years. He's tending sheep for 40 more years. He's almost 80. Anybody here 80? Getting right up there, right now. That's you wouldn't be tending sheep when you're 80, Burlton? No, I didn't think so. So here we go. We got Moses. He's 80 years old. And here he is, verse 14. He's talking to God. He stops and looks at this burning bush. This bush, I just imagine this bush being green and flowery and burning. And it's not consumed. It's just burning, but it's not consumed. It's like, how can it be green and flowery and not burning? So, you know, he goes and looks at it. Any of us would. You'd stop and look at that, wouldn't you? So he starts talking to God, and God says, "Hey, I'm going to send you, I'm an old buddy, Moses, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh, and you're going to get my people out." And Moses has all kinds of excuses, but here in verse 14, he says, "When I go to tell him who sent me, who do I send? Who do I say that? Who do I say sent me?" And God gives us a little insulin here. In verse 14, it says, "And God said to Moses," and this is the Amplified, it kind of brings it out a little bit, I think. It says, "I am who I am. And what I am, and I will be what I will be." And he said, "You shall say this to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you." I am. What's I am? I am is a tetragrammaton. That's a big word. You know what it means? Tetragrammaton. You know what a tetragrammaton is? This is big. You got it? Ready? It's four letters to just simplify a word. That's it. Tetragrammaton. That's what I mean. It's a big, huge word for four letters and it simplifies a word. It's like, really? That's what this was. This I am is a tetragrammaton. It is YHVH. That's it. It's not pronounceable. It is an unpronounceable word. There's no vowels. Impronounceable. It's just I am. God says, I am. What's he say here? Verse 15, "God said also to Moses, this shall you say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, of Abraham," who is dead, by the way, "of Isaac," who is dead, by the way, "and of Jacob," who's dead already, by the way, "has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and by this name I am to be remembered to all generations." You can't pronounce it. It's a name. It's not even a name. It's just four letters, right? I did a little research on this, and in the 16th century, 1500s, there was a German, he translated the Bible, he was German, they did this back, they didn't have printing presses, okay, so they did it by hand. There was a German translator in the 16th century who wrote the name YHVH, okay, and because it was sitting there with the vowels of Adonai, he he put the vowels of Adonai with the words with the consonants of YHVH and came up with YAHOVAH. Jehovah. He incorrectly translated it. Incorrectly. He messed it up. That's where we get our English word Jehovah. Think he messed that up? Thank God I had a little plan there, we think. That's where we get our English word Jehovah. When you go through your Bible and you see Lord, L capital, O capital, R capital, D capital, that's Jehovah. What's Jehovah mean? Well, I'll tell you. I like this. Jehovah means the approachable, covenant-making, promise-keeping God. Ooh, that's pretty impressive. So when I see in my Bible in Genesis 2:4, it says, Lord God, Jehovah Elohim, all-powerful, creator, approachable, covenant-making, promise-keeping God. Isn't that cool? I am. Isn't that cool? I was excited about this all week. I was excited. I was like, this is cool. I'm talking to the Lord. I'm working. I'm doing things. And I smashed my finger on a step. Peeled the skin back and nailed it. It was like, that is like, ow. And I thought, okay, that step stuck. So I go to my truck. I have a large selection of hammers on my truck. Large. Okay. I'm not lying to you. I have a large selection of hammers. I have 20-pound sledge with a long handle. You can just bust stuff really good with that thing. It's so cool. I got 16-pound. I got a 12-pound. I got a 10-pound. I got a 5-pound. I got a 4-pound. I got a 24-ounce bulging hammer. I got hammers! And I'm thinking, all right, this stuff's coming off. Huh? You ever feel that way? I took the 20-ounce ball peen, went over and tapped it loose, and I thought, and I'm like, Lord, really? We were talking. I was talking to the Lord. We were having a good time, and I smacked that finger. You know, it came to me and says, you know, if you're going to talk about stuff, then you got to live it. Oh, you mean to tell me that I'm going to come up and talk about all-powerful, creating, approachable, covenant-making, promise-keeping God. And I sliced my finger. He's still the same. He did not change. I did. And I thought, okay, if this is where we're going to go with this, all right, this is cool. I like this. I can deal with this. And I thought, okay. So then I start looking at this I am. And then I start getting verses of Scripture in the New Testament. Let's go look at John. Let's go look at John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Kids are doing an awesome job upstairs, by the way, in learning the books of the Bible. They can just about say them without looking now, which is pretty cool. I thought it was pretty cool anyway. John chapter 8. Now remember this I am. Up until this time, it is an unpronounceable word, right? J-H-V-H, right? Still unpronounceable. And the Pharisees, chapter 8, it's the only place in the whole Bible that talks about they bring this woman before Jesus and there's a lot on it. I might preach on that someday. I really like that story. I think I might preach on it someday. But go down through, the Pharisees are just quizzing, asking questions, quizzing. And they say, dude, they're telling Jesus, dude, you got a demon. You got a demon, brother. Something wrong with you. You got a demon, what you're saying. And he's going on and on talking. And I might as well read some of this to you, because I want you to see something here. In verse 46, it says, who of you convicts me of wrongdoing or finds me guilty of sin? Then if I speak truth, why do you not believe me? This is Jesus talking. Whoever is of God listens to God. This is the reason that you do not listen, because you do not belong to God or are not of God or in harmony with Him. You give him a little hard time, isn't he? And here the Jews, in verse 48, the Jews answer him saying, are we not right when we say you are a Samaritan and you have a demon? Say, dude, there's something wrong. You got mental problems. That's what they're saying. You got some mental issues. Verse 49, Jesus says, I am not possessed by a demon. On the contrary, I honor and reverence my Father, and you dishonor me. However, I am not in search of honor for myself. There is one who looks, seeks that, and he is the judge. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone observes my teaching, he will by no means ever see and experience death. Listen to this. Verse 52. The Jews said to him, Now we know you're psycho. We know you got some mental issues. Now he says, Abraham's died, and also the prophets. If a man keeps my word, you'll never taste the death into all eternity. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died and all the prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be? Get you some of that. Jesus answered in verse 54. If I were to glorify myself, I would have no real glory, for my glory would be nothing and worthless. My honor must come to me from my Father. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you do not know him, or recognize him, or not even acquainted with him. But I know him. Jesus says, I know him. If I should say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I know him and keep his words. Verse 56, your forefather Abraham was extremely happy at the hope and prospect of seeing my day. Woo! And he did see it and was delighted. Now, Abraham's been dead for hundreds of years, guys. Jesus saying he knew my day. He was delighted to see it. Verse 57, then the Jews said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? He's been dead for hundreds of years. You ain't even 50. What's Jesus' reply? I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. Whoa. Jesus is saying, I am. I'm Jehovah. Ooh. Well, they want to take stones and kill him. He is saying, I am God. And you know what? He was. Isn't that something? He was God. Let's keep going. I know this is getting dry for you, but we're going to keep going. John chapter 18. Let's go to John chapter 18. I want to show you something here. Let's see. I like this story. I like this version of the story. We're talking about I am the approachable, covenant-making, promise-keeping God. Okay? In the garden, Judas is going to go and they're going to arrest Jesus, right? We all know that story. John brings out something that no other book does in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You don't bring it out, but John brings it out. In there in verse 3 it says, so Judas obtained and taking charge of a band of soldiers and some guards of the high priest and Pharisees came with lanterns and torches and weapons. If you look at a band of soldiers is probably 600 people. It may not have been a full band, we don't know that. So there's 500-600 people coming against Jesus. You ever see that many people in a big crowd coming at you? 500 or 600, that's a lot of people. And Jesus, knowing all that was about to befall him, went out to them and said, who are you seeking? Who do you want? Who are you looking for? Verse 5, and they answered him, Jesus the Nazarene. Jesus said to them, I am. Now your Bible might say, I am he. In the original Greek, he is not there. He is not there. It is, I am. Wow. What happens? When Jesus said to them, I am, they went backwards and fell to the ground. Okay, we have a God who humbled himself, abased himself, lowered himself, to become like you and me. Remember, he is all-powerful creator God. He is approachable, covenant-making, promise-keeping, all-powerful. He's the man, God. You know what? He loved you so much. He came and died on that cross for you. And this, I think this here, I like the way John writes this, because when they came against him and he said, I am just a little bit of that power shoot through. Just a little inkling. Poof! They fell away from him. That's something. In my mind, that's power, right? Huh? If that step would have smashed me and God made no sense, and I'd have picked that tractor up and turned on it, stop! Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. Huh? Right? Can you imagine what Jesus would have done? He said, I am. I mean, can you imagine? But he didn't. He just fell backwards. Just from that one statement. He's God. Why are you saying all this stuff, Matt? What's this have to do with God and hating me? And I had another question asked me this week. Why can't I forgive myself? I've done some bad things. I can't forgive myself. You're right, you can't. You can't forgive yourself. You don't have the power in you to forgive yourself. Because you're going to remember whatever you did for the rest of your life. You do not have the power to forgive yourself. But I believe because the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross and you asked forgiveness from Him, when He forgives you, then I think that allows His power to work in you to forgive you. Without the Lord Jesus Christ working in that, I don't think you can forgive yourself. I don't believe you can. Two hard questions this week. Get two hard questions in 1 week, get a prize? No. I did. I got a real prize. Okay, let's keep going. Because I don't know what time it will keep going. I want to show you something else. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. I want to show you a couple things. The reason I'm bringing all this out is because when troubles come upon us, and they're going to, I heard a story a week ago, and this is what started this whole thing. The caption was, Modern Day Job. And I'm thinking, okay, you know, they got your attention, all right? They got your attention, all right? Anybody know the name Lisa Turkhurst? She founded Proverbs 31 Ministry. She's really involved. She writes books. She's a pretty impressive lady, really, actually. In 2016, the year 2016, several years ago, 2016, she has five children. Three of her five children were going to get married that year. How many know that's probably a little stressful? A certain amount stressful. Three of her five kids are getting married in 1 year, okay. She gets sick, she's got some issues going on, gets to the hospital. Long story short, she almost dies. They finally figured out that her colon had torn loose from her abdomen and twisted. Had to do an emergency surgery right away or she would have died. She was very close to being dead, okay. She goes into surgery, okay. Whew. A couple months later, she finds out her husband's been cheating on her. 2 months later. Okay. She hasn't healed from surgery yet. Okay, she's dealing with this. She's got three kids getting married. She's recovering from the surgery. Now this mess. And then 3 months later, she finds out she has breast cancer. Wow. Wow. I'm thinking, wow. That's one of them things you're thinking, really? Really? Huh? Really? And that got me thinking about all this stuff. And I thought, you know, in her, she came through that. And what's really neat to me is she came through that praising God and wrote more books about praising God. And I thought, you know, that'd be tough. Her and her husband have gotten back together, which is cool. Health-wise right now, she is in remission. She said she was never closer to God than when she was in the middle of that mess. You know, sometimes I think God wants to talk to us, and the only way He gets our attention is having stuff come against you. Huh? He does. He has stuff come against you. And you know what? He's going to make you talk to Him. Huh? So wouldn't you rather know Him now? Wouldn't you rather know God now? So when the trouble comes, you can say, God, I know You're all-powerful, all-creator, approachable. God. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ, that's Him. He's God, and He suffered everything you suffer. He knows what it feels like. He knows what it hurts like. He knows what a cry's like. He's God, and he knows how you feel. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't it make you feel better? Because when I smash my finger, and I might take a hammer and bust that right over there, Jesus said, well, I know what you mean. I could just rip this thing off. Huh? You know what I mean? Ah. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in many separate revelations, I'm going to read this from Amplified, each of which set forth a portion of the truth. And in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. Verse 2. But in the last days, the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of a son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things. Wow. Also by and through whom he created the worlds and the reaches of space and the ages of time. The Amplified says that he made, produced, built, operated, arranged, and put them in order. They still do not know how big our galaxies are, guys. They still haven't been able to see the end of it. They get bigger and better and more impressive telescopes, and they can see bigger and better and farther, and they can't see the end of it. And you know what Genesis 1:1 said? In the beginning, God created. It was in his mind. Can you imagine? It was in God's mind. He says, you know what? I'm just going to make a galaxy. Isn't that cool? With stars and planets and stuff. And there it was. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Isn't that big? God's big? He's big? He said he made him into a person. And the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's the heir, he's the Son. Verse 3. He is the sole expression of the glory of God. Jesus is the sole expression of the glory of God. The Amplified says, the light being the outraying of radiance of the divine. He's cool. Huh? And he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. Wow. Upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. When he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and riddance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. You get that? Three huge, laden, dripping with stuff verses. You spend years studying. He created the universe. He set it in order. He put it in gear. He made it work. It conforms to his power, his will. He's got it under control. And he knows you intimately and loves you intimately and wants to know you better. And he sent his son to take your sins and your guilt and your shame off of you and put it on Christ. That when you come boldly through that torn veil into the Holy of Holies, and God is there, powerful, strong, mighty. And you say, that finger really hurts. That hurts. He goes, I know. But I got to teach you something somehow, don't I? Yeah. Yeah. That's how I learn. I learn by getting beat up. Huh? I'm probably the only one here. I'm too dumb to know any other way. I just got to get beat up and learn it. And God knows that. And he knows that. And you know what's funny? He still loves me. And he still listens to me. And I still talk to him. And he's still there. Isn't that cool? You say, man, I got a lot of stuff coming against me. He knows. There's nothing that comes against you that he doesn't know about. Nothing. Nothing. You say, why'd you let it happen? If I knew that, I'd be God. And I'm not. I'm not. For a reason for everything. 20 years ago, the troubles I had 20 years ago, I looked at it as the miserable part of my life. Miserable, terrible, pathetic. Want to go out and eat worms in the dirt. You know what I mean? You ever feel that way? I just go eat worms.
Nobody loves me.
Huh? You ever feel that way? Huh? We all have, right? You know, I would not be where I am today in my walk with the Lord and my love for you guys without that 20 years ago. That's something. God knew that, didn't he? He knew that. I want to close with Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. I guess the point I'm trying to make here is, no matter what you're going through, I've been through a lot of things in my life. A month or so ago, I had a week that was just like the week from really bad. You know what I mean? You ever have one of them weeks? Just everything went wrong. Period. Nothing went right. Nothing. It was just horrifically bad. And it just beat you down to a point where you're like, huh? But interesting enough, I start looking at the Word, reading, start doing a little praising God, a little worshiping, a little praising, something. Jesus, Messiah, you're singing some song, you know, praising the Lord. Can you feel that strength coming back in you? Can you feel that power of God in your life? Huh? And then I can go, yeah. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 14 and 15, I'll read these. I know without a doubt that when it says that Jesus is our high priest, the high priest in Jewish times could not go into the Holy of Holies only once a year without blood. He could not go in there. And he went in there and got out of there as quick as he could, because if he said something, did something, acted something wrong, he was dead. God killed him dead at 4 o'clock. And the priest, when he had his robe, if you go back and look at the priest's robe, it had little bells, golden bells, all around the hem of it. So when you walked, they jingled. They were there because they sit outside the Holy of Holies. If the jingly dingles quit, he was dead. He was dead! God had killed him because he did something wrong. That's why they always had a rope tied on their foot so they could drag him out. Wow! When God tore that veil in two, we no longer have to worry about little bells ringing on our... When we come in, he sees you as the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, come on in, sister. Come on in, brother. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. Come on to me. Talk to me. Come on. Huh? You got no repercussions. No fear. You have no fear. Because he's God. He loves you. Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 says, this is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on that cross. Says, having canceled and blotted out and wiped away the handwriting of the note with its legal decrees and demands which was in force and stood against us, that's you and me, was hostile to us. This note with its regulation, decrees, and demands, he set aside and cleared completely. It's in the present, perfect present tense, completely. That means he did it already and there's no more doing it. It's done. Completely set out of our way by nailing it to his cross. Really? You know, all the bad things that I've done, all the written down stuff that I've that's documented against that I've done wrong? He said, I nailed that to my cross. It no longer has any power over you. I can forgive myself then, right? God took care of it. He nailed it to the cross. Huh? Verse 15. Now we know that we don't fight with flesh and blood. We fight against principalities and powers and high places. That's what Ephesians 6 tells us, right? You read that? Remember that? Verse 15 says, God disarmed the principalities. Wait a minute. God disarmed the principalities and powers that were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in Him and in the cross. Do you understand that by dying on that cross, I have no concept in my mind what all Christ did on that cross. I read, I keep looking at stuff, I keep seeing stuff, I keep knowing stuff, and I still think,
He did so much stuff on that cross to take it off of you and put it on himself that when you come to God, God can say, I love you. Huh? Huh? And when you get a bad week and you get all this junk coming upon you and beating you up and knocking you down, you know God is right there with you. When you're on your knees because you can't get up, when you're on your knees because you can't get up, because life is beating you down, He's still there with you. Isn't that cool? Who's with you? All powerful, all creating, approachable, covenant keeping, promise keeping, all powerful God. Wow. There's nothing He can't do. You believe that? Start having some trouble in your life. You'll get a handle on it. Start having some trouble in your life. You'll get a handle on it. And I really believe God didn't promise us a life without trouble, guys. He didn't promise us that. He did promise that He would be with us through it all. Things that we look as bad, life opportunities that come against us that are bad. I was talking to Julie this morning. The guy got put in prison for, looks like, something he didn't do. But he's made a ministry out of that. I'm thinking, if he wouldn't have had that happen, he wouldn't have been a prison ministry guy, would he? It was bad. It was bad. God had a plan. God has a plan for each and every one of you. Isn't that cool? And if you can believe it, He's got a plan for me. And you know what? I don't know what it is. I don't know. He ain't told me. Has He told you guys? What's your plan for your life? What are you going to do? Coming tomorrow. Be ready. It's coming tomorrow. God tell you that? He's already been there. God knows what tomorrow is. He's been there. He's timeless. He's been there. He knows what's coming to get you tomorrow. And it's nice to know that when I get up in the morning and say, Lord, whatever comes against me today, I just pray that You're with me. And You keep me from getting angry, saying something I do and doing something I shouldn't. Give me Your power and Your strength, because I can't do it without You. Ask Him about it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The Lord told me to shut up, and I'm going to. Father, we humbly come before Your throne. We walk through that torn veil. We step boldly as children to a Father that loves us to the point He would die for us. We step into Your presence this morning, Father. Father, we look upon Your face. Look upon the power, strength, the grace, the mercy, the awesomeness of who You are. And we stand before You this morning, Father. Father, we're just looking to You, because You are the answer to all our questions. You are the strength for the day. You are the mental power for tomorrow. You are God. Father, I just ask that Your presence would be with us this morning. That Your Holy Spirit would just empower each and every one here, that they would know that You love them, and You want what's best for them, and Your power resides in them. The power of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You and we praise You. Father, we just look to You for all our answers. Even though most times they're slow coming, we still look to You for the answer. Father, in Your precious name we pray. Amen. The elders come forward. As the praise band comes forward. This is a time we offer every Sunday. And I think that's awesome. We offer this every Sunday. Time for you to come forward if you need to ask for prayer for something in your life. For strength, for wisdom, for understanding, for healing. This is that time. It has nothing to do with anybody that's here. It has all to do with Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that we love you and want what's best for you, we're going to pray for you. We're going to listen to a song the praise band does here this morning.